This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday, except it's not. Fooled ya. It's Thursday. It's Thursday, April the 17th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman here on Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ed Battagliano in studio with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello.
And we thank you for listening again to AFR. Tomorrow, we normally have Trivia Friday, but each Good Friday rolls around once a year. We have something different, right?
Yeah, we are going to have religiously themed programming during the time when we usually have Trivia Friday. Simply because Good Friday is, we've just decided over the years you don't really want to just be yucking it up, and we can act a little silly sometimes, and it's a holy day, and so tomorrow we will have more Christian-themed programming. The first hour, help me out, Brent, I forget the first hour, the third segment from 11 to 11:30 Central Time is going to be Dr. Ray Pritchard. He has a special. What's the first hour? Correct.
The first hour is going to be Exploring the Word.
Yes.
We're going to have an Exploring the Word for tomorrow at 10 to 11 Central.
Okay. So the whole hour and a half that we usually do Trivia Friday.
Focused on Easter.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's coming up tomorrow. Today, a lot to talk about. Again, we appreciate you joining us. What's the leading the news?
Well, it's something that people on Fox News and other outlets were still talking about this morning. Yesterday afternoon, a, quote, special guest appeared at the White House for a special press briefing. It was Patty Moran. She is the mother of murder victim Rachel Moran, and she was on to share details of what happened to her daughter. Rachel Moran was sexually assaulted and murdered by an illegal immigrant. That man was arrested and has recently been convicted for those crimes. And Patty went into great detail in front of national reporters and national television to explain the gruesome things that her daughter experienced in her final moments. We did not purposely air those sound bites because they're too graphic. But at the end, after taking 5, 6, 7 minutes to explain what happened to her daughter and how it happened to her daughter, Patty did go on to say that we need to deport dangerous illegal aliens to protect Americans like her daughter. Clip one.
These are the kind of criminals President Trump wants to remove from our country. These are the kind of criminals that we need to remove from our country. We are American citizens. Why should we allow people like this, violent criminals that have no conscience at all, to murder our mothers, our sisters, our daughters? What? I don't understand.
Now, she appeared before these reporters to share these, to make these comments to reporters, because Democrats, led by Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, were going on what they have described as a rescue mission to El Salvador to get the man that media keeps referring to as a Maryland father, who was wrongfully deported to El Salvador, even though the government says he was an MS-13 member.
Now, am I correct in some of these stories? I do get mixed up. I think Fox covered this lady live.
Yes.
But other media did not. They almost ignored this press conference. Do I have that right?
You just bingoed. CNN, MSNBC are among the news outlets that purposely chose not to air it, and the Trump administration after that, after finding that out, they ripped those networks for refusing to air her comments. They called it shameful.
Yep.
Okay, so the backstory here, if you want to know it, is there was a illegal immigrant who was arrested. There's been a lot of them arrested by ICE in Maryland, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when was this, a month ago or so?
She was murdered in 2023.
No, that isn't what I'm asking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I ask you, when was he arrested? The fellow that it was like 2-3 weeks ago? Do we know?
No, are you mixing up the guy who's been shipped to El Salvador versus the guy who did the raping against Moran?
Yes, I'm.
There's not two separate people.
I'm not mixing them up, Fred.
Okay.
I've got them separated.
Okay.
But I don't know. Did I sound like a smarty right there?
No comment.
No comment.
You're defending your honor. Yeah. Okay. We expect a little pushback. That's okay. Why.
No, here's what I'm saying, and I apologize if I did sound that way. I'm telling you what led up to this press conference.
Okay.
Okay. So the fella that was deported, who... The senator, the United States senator from Maryland.
Van Hollen.
Okay. He went to El Salvador yesterday.
Yes.
He went to try to get back a man that he says has been wrongfully sent to the El Salvadoran prison.
That is correct.
Okay. But the Trump administration says, no, he is not innocent, right?
Right. That's correct.
Okay. So... What some others talking about is that this same Maryland senator had nothing to say when her daughter, who is a Maryland citizen, was murdered.
That is correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have, if all that is the case that I've just said, obviously the mother would be outraged. And the average citizen would be outraged that a United States senator from Maryland who had nothing to say when a Maryland citizen was murdered by an illegal immigrant now is trying to get one freed, flying all the way down to El Salvador in the name of freeing a man that he said, what does he say is innocent?
Van Hollen says that Republicans are lying when they say this guy was a member of MS-13.
Okay.
But Republicans...
Well, this is just who you believe.
Yeah, but Republicans yesterday noted that back... this is Garcia, the guy that's now in El Salvador.
In El Salvador, yeah.
They say there were two judgments against Garcia back... And he's been in the country since 2012, I think, entered illegally. There's been two judgments that have identified him as a member of MS-13. The other thing the Democrats have done, and some of the networks have done this, is show Garcia's wife pleading for the return of her husband. But what happened yesterday, I think it was the Daily Signal or a news agency went out, and they went to court documents where Garcia's wife, in the last couple of years, has filed two domestic violence criticisms, charges,
right,
against
call the police.
Yes, against her husband.
Okay, and now she's trying to save him.
Now she's trying to
get him to come back.
Whatever is prompting her to do that is
all
unclear.
Right. Yep. But anyway, the point of this press conference yesterday at the White House, well, this mother, Patty, who we heard from, Patty, appearing at the press conference, the Trump administration at the White House wanted to make a point that the Democrats don't care about the people who are being victimized in America by illegal aliens or illegal immigrants. They only care about the victimizers, the ones who do the crimes. They want to protect them, then they want to protect more of the U.S. citizens. Have I got the point?
Yeah, that's going to be a big problem for the Democrats going forward. This is not a good look. This is not a good look for the Maryland senator, Chris Van Hollen.
I think he's pandering. Let me tell you, don't you think he's pandering?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure. Absolutely, he's pandering.
To the Hispanic community, I think.
Yeah, or it's just the leftist view. Now, one of the charges that has been levied against President Trump and the Trump administration is denial of due process. Okay, that's what they're saying is, and pushing what they're pushing for, the Democrats, is they want each and every one of these people who are being deported to have a day in court and to have a hearing.
Lawyer up,
and all those kind of things.
Hundreds of thousands of people?
Yeah, millions yeah. of people. But the Democrats had this problem in the 60s, on into the 70s, even into the early 80s when Democrats were running against Ronald Reagan. Soft on crime. That has always been a charge against the Democratic Party. Soft on crime, and it's manifested by the appearance of a concern for the rights of criminals rather than the rights of victims. And that probably led to some of their losses to Richard Nixon and to Ronald Reagan in the aftermath of that. And I think they're cruising towards the same consequence.
One of the big things that really sickens and angers me about this is the cover the Democratic Party continues to get from the mainstream media. They're refusing to deal, like Chris has noted. They didn't cover this news conference yesterday with Patty Moran. Also, they're not telling the truth, as other news agencies are, that this guy, Garcia, has been noted in courtrooms as a member of MS-13.
Right.
The other media is not doing their job as far as the wife of Garcia having gone to police and made right. formal complaints against.
Well,
she says he beat her twice.
Okay. We all know why this is going on pretty much, but it was said out loud. But what I mean, this is going on, this cover for the Democrats and not crediting the Trump administration on illegal immigration. You remember?
That's the big issue.
Chuck Todd. Okay, Chuck Todd is the NBC host of Meet the Press. Have I got that right?
Well, he was. He's since moved on from
Okay,
that.
But he was doing an interview the other day with Piers Morgan and the independent journalist you see out there, the British guy. Piers Morgan pushed him on why the news media covering the White House did not expose Biden's mental decline, why they ignored it. Didn't make it a story. And Chuck Todd admitted, he said, because we didn't want to help Trump.
Yeah.
Now I'm paraphrasing there, and he did, and by we, I mean, he was saying the liberal mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say that there are biases, liberal biases against conservatives, that the liberal media, which make up the vast majority of the mainstream press, the three-letter, you know, that we would know, television networks and so forth, they are deliberately, and they're on the Democrat team, okay? So the progressive, they're on the progressive, team progressive,
right.
Okay? And I'm talking insurance here. And so to your point, Fred, what they do on the story like here where this this woman who was murdered's mom is very emotional, and at the White House at a press conference, at the press daily press briefing, telling her story, and contrasting that with the Democrats going to El Salvador to try to get this guy freed. The mainstream media look at that and they say, you know what, that favors the Trump administration because that woman has a very emotional and logical case to make. And we don't want to present that because that will help Trump and hurt the Democrats. Thus, MSNBC, CNN, others. Is CNN one of them?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They can't do something that might make their team look bad.
Listen, we're talking about the Democratic Party, who during the State of the Union address by President Trump,
right,
or his inaugural address, excuse me, refused to stand up and clap for a young man who was battling cancer.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's
who they are.
Yes.
That's who they are.
Because Trump brought this young man in. He wanted to make a point, and they couldn't set aside political differences enough to applaud that.
Well, this is the reason for Fox News' rise in viewership.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Over the last 20, 25 years. and other radio and television networks is because people realize the liberal media is lying.
And if you think we're exaggerating the point about the liberalism of the mainstream media, stop and think about this. The mainstream media is losing viewers, right, but they don't appear to care. The reason they're losing viewers is because of their bias. They're losing viewers, therefore they're losing millions of dollars in ad revenue, but they don't care. They are so dedicated to the left-wing ideology, they're willing for their businesses to go down the tubes.
I personally think that I agree with what you're saying. Part of the reason, though, is also that they have been, their newsrooms and even the upper echelon of these corporations, news media, that's corporate. They've been infested with these woke, radical leftists, and they understand that if they take a turn towards the middle, these people will all rebel. They'll lose their entire staffs.
Yeah.
So
CNN's trying, or they were trying. CNN recognized their model of promoting the liberal agenda was not working from a business standpoint. This was widely reported about a year ago. Remember they changed they changed CEOs and changed the way they, so they want to appear at least to be trying to be more objective and be the CNN of old, you know, where they were. But they were pretty reliable and dependable, at least for news coverage.
But look what happened at the Washington Post. Bezos.
Yeah.
When he tried to make some reforms, there was a rebellion.
Yeah, it's a rebellion.
Yeah,
because it's groupthink liberalism inside the newsroom and the editorial room.
Mm-hmm. CNN could have just aired the press conference featuring Patty and then brought out their panel to which some liberal and CNN is chock full of them, but some liberal could have said, well, she was emotional, she wasn't thinking straight, and then they could have had Scott Jennings say, you're wrong, you're a liberal, and then moved on and called it coverage. And I think most people would have been okay with
that. Listen, CNN, Scott Jennings appears to be one of the darlings of whoever's watching CNN, and that to me is proof that people want at least balanced media.
I'm looking at Newsbusters' website. They're chastising PBS, saying they ignored the murder by the illegal in favor of sad deportation coverage. CBS, meanwhile, spent 20 times more on Gayle King going to space than the whole flight crew. CBS news personality Gayle King was one of the ladies that went up to space. I mean, there's
for like, 11
if
for
you
11
ever
minutes.
Know, if you ever want to know what mainstream media is wasting its time on, go to Newsbusters, because God bless them. People like Clay Waters, Nicholas Fondacaro, Curtis Houck, they all talk about stuff that networks are focusing way too much time on. For example, ABC, NBC, Trump at Sleepy Joe's first post office speech bashing Trump and Social Security. I mean, they're wasting a lot of time.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred. Next story, Chris.
From time to time when we talk about
From
liberals
time to time.
And the crazy things that liberals, specifically leaders of the Democratic Party, are doing or not doing, sometimes people wonder, like, who is running the party? Is it AOC? Is it Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, or somebody else? Apparently, some of the younger people in the party now that have climbed the ranks and gotten cushy positions, like David Hogg, a lot of young people in the DNC are talking about raising money and going out and primarying Democrats to try to get rid of them and get in younger, more woke people in the Democratic Party. So that's one thing. And Fox, in a coverage of this today, had a segment on with Republican strategist Tiffany Marie Brandon. She said Democrats are just in complete disarray. Clip five.
I think it's a desperate move. I think that at the end of the day, David Hogg is a 25-year-old Harvard grad who is a bit of a narcissist with a still yet undeveloped prefrontal cortex. And at the what we're seeing in this trend is the left starting to eat their own. What they're not realizing and recognizing and are starting to panic about is that they are not meeting the American people on the subjects that are most important to them. Look at the transgender issue. We have a 79% approval rating nationwide. That's 97% of Republicans and 67% of Democrats that believe that transgender athletes should be banned from women's sports.
Yeah. She went on, but we had to cut it somewhere.
Listen, I think the Democratic Party is in serious trouble because of exactly what she's talking about. We are watching the Democratic Party, who in 2020, during the primary season, invited in the socialist wing of the party, plus the woke, BLM, Antifa, all of those folks, invited them in when they realized that Bernie Sanders might get the nomination, and they wanted Joe Biden, who they thought would be a more
establishment
guy. And they made the promise. I'm guessing they made the promise. If you will all coalesce behind Joe Biden, get him the nomination, we'll let you guys into places of leadership. And now they're taking him at their word. And the very, at least part of the reason why Trump got elected was because Biden, his policies were, I think, being directed by this more radical wing of the party, maybe without his knowledge at some point towards the end of his administration. And that's part of the reason why Trump won fairly handily. And now the Democratic Party is facing a takeover. You have James Carville a week or so ago saying we need to get those woke people need to just leave, start their own party. But it's too late for that, James. These people are in charge. Mm-hmm. And if Chuck Schumer might face a primary challenger, they're all in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I agree with you that the Democrat Party as a whole is in, they're in a malaise. They're in a, you know, no man's land. There's no leadership there.
Yeah.
No direction, really. The energy, as it were, lies with the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and that part of the party, because they actually, they're wrong, but they do believe in something.
Right.
You know, they try to fight for what they believe in. But I think that the only thing that could derail the Trump and the Republicans right now is Trump's tariffs. Mm-hmm. If Trump's tariffs don't work, then the reaction will be against the Republicans, mm-hmm. and the Democrats will be the benefactor.
Yep.
Even if the Democrats are in decline.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that Trump's tariffs, we haven't had tariff talk today, so.
I'm prepared.
Yeah. Are you okay? Time now, ladies and gentlemen, for tariff talk with
hello
today's issues panel.
Sponsored
now we go live. That's to me. That's the economic program of President Trump will make or break his administration and the Republican Party in the fall of 2028. Right? Or
2026.
A year from now, we're in the throes of primary season.
So what I'm saying is this domestic agenda that President Trump has, not the economic agenda, but everything else, I think the American people, that's why they voted for Trump and the Republicans, and he is bringing it on all those issues, and people are applauding and saying it's about time on all of what Elon Musk is doing and mm-hmm. exposure, waste, fraud, and abuse, and all those things. By and large, the general public says, keep going. This is what we need. But, again, when you bring up tariffs, I was talking to a couple of guys yesterday who are, they don't work here. They're conservatives just like us, Christian conservatives, economic conservatives. And they were like, oh, I don't know. Hopefully it works. I hope he knows what he's doing, talking about Trump and tariffs. You know, and these were smart guys, business guys, and they didn't know which way this thing was going to break.
Yeah.
You know, well, the American people will support ideas like Make America Great Again and Bring Manufacturing Back. But those are all abstract if they're suffering at home.
Right.
Okay. Those are all abstract plans. But if Trump's
policies, Boeing goes down the tubes.
Yeah. If Trump's policies result in economic catastrophe at their kitchen table,
it won't matter.
They don't care about abstract.
No. Then the Democrats will say, look what he's done to
yes.
the economy. Mm-hmm. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Mm-hmm.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Thursday, April the 17th, 2025. Tomorrow is Good Friday. Sunday's Easter is Easter. And we, our offices and studios will be closed tomorrow, as will many of you will be off work tomorrow, as it is Holy Week. And so we will have a couple of specials during the Trivia Friday hour. We do that on Good Friday because we, as Ed said earlier, we want to pay proper. Come on, Tim, you can do this. Pay proper respect to
yes
the reason for
Good Friday. Good Friday.
Right. Boy, I struggled with that one there, didn't I?
Well,
nobody helped me. Y'all were just looking at me.
Well,
like,
I wasn't quite sure what you were going for.
Well, that was the problem. I didn't either. Exactly. I couldn't get it out. I had two P words back to back.
We all help each other out. If we were struggling over words and stuff, we got a big crowd of folks who are visiting and they're outside the window of our studio.
They all look retired.
Yes.
I mean, I'll say to you.
Well, they could be.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll talk to them. But we welcome folks to come by our studios.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, you want to tell them how they can do that, Ed?
Yeah, they just go to AFA.net and
go to StubHub and get tickets.
Go to
Ticketmaster.
Go to StubHub. If you go to AFA.net and hang on, I've got to click off this menu here, and you go to Contact Us, the little drop-down menu.
Right.
At the very bottom of that drop-down menu, it says tours.
Okay.
So you have to fill some stuff out. We got to make sure, you know, the law's not after you.
Right.
And
if they are, we're not hiding you here.
Right? That's right.
I'm going to call ICE.
Not for free. We won't.
Yeah. There was a Canadian at the front door this morning that we didn't let in.
Oh, wow. Was that you?
No, it was a Canada Goose.
Oh, Canada Goose.
I'm serious.
It was at the front door.
Canadian Goose.
Canadian Goose.
No, that was Canada like Goose. Some kind of liquor.
He was at the front door, and he was yelling.
It was a warning from Trudeau.
I want in.
Or I will slap tariffs on you.
Well, it is nice to have folks visiting with us today. And but anyway, we won't be here tomorrow with live programming during the Today's Issues Hour. That's one I wanted people to know that. All right. We are covering the news and current events here, and we do that each and every day on American Family Radio. Yeah, before the break, we were talking about President Trump and the fact that he's laid it all on the line with his tariffs for the world. Kind of like we are the world, holding hands.
Right.
Except we are slapping the world
with tariffs.
But everything hinges on the success of that or not, doesn't it?
Yeah, and this is not a new idea that popped into Trump's head. He's been talking about tariffs for 40 years. So this is something he believes in. He believes American economic policy should put America first, and that includes our trade deficit, which last year was over $1 trillion.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, we'll see. A lot depends on whether that works or not.
Yeah.
Because everything else that President Trump is doing domestically, which we've all applauded here for the most part, that hinges on what his economic.
And it won't matter to voters if we go into a recession. That's
who's our guest now, Fred?
Our guest is our very special guest every couple of weeks here on Today's Issues. I say this, she doesn't need any introduction, but I'm about to introduce her.
You got to introduce her anyway.
Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, which is heard right here on American Family Radio at 1 p.m. Central on Saturday, and then again on Sunday at 12 noon. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Fred, and everyone. I appreciate it so much.
Are Canadian geese welcome at your place?
Oh, they're all over my backyard. Yeah.
I saw them flying overhead the other day, and I was in the yard, and I said, "Welcome home, boys," because it's getting close to spring and summer.
That's right. That's right. Jan.
Well, they don't have far to go here, you know. Well,
that's,
I mean,
right. That's right.
Just a few miles.
Yeah, the Canadian geese there wear earmuffs in the wintertime just to...
That's exactly right.
Yes. Jan, a couple of stories involving Israel in the news this morning. And we have another round of talks that are going on this weekend between the United States and Iran on trying to force Iran to diminish or not to produce nuclear weapons. But also we learned that there's news this morning that the Trump administration apparently persuaded Israel. Israel had plans over the last several weeks to indeed attack Iran's nuclear facilities. And President Trump asked them to stand back from that plan while he was trying to negotiate. Jan, this is critical. If we cannot persuade Iran and be convinced that they are not producing nuclear weapons, dear knows what's going to happen. How does that fit into Bible prophecy, and where do you think this is going?
Yeah, those are really good questions, Fred. The president, of course, has said that we have a problem with Iran, and I think he's being rather generous there because the Iranians would love to buy time, as Joel Rosenberg and others have said, by dragging out negotiations with President Trump as long as possible. And I think Donald Trump will go along with that for a while, but certainly not forever. But what is the alternative? And the alternative is indeed an American attack on Iranian nuclear facilities, which, by the way, is a supreme challenge. They're underground. They're within mountains. They're strategically planted facilities that are extremely difficult to get to. Now, would Israel cooperate in this? Of course. And this has kind of been put off. At least it's on delay. It was going to happen in May. Israel was going to attack in May. And the president said, you know, we got to wait. We got to talk and talk and talk.
Mm. Well, as I say, there's another round of talks this weekend in Rome between American officials and Iranian officials. But also we learned this week, and Ed and I were talking about this morning, there's another carrier group that has entered the area. And that, I think, Ed, just kind of increases the tension and the Trump administration trying to increase the pressure on Iran to come to some kind of deal.
Yeah, because, Jan, you can comment on this. It's clearly a threat to move a second U.S. carrier group into the region. Everybody understands that. It's interesting that when you have a dictatorship, which is what Iran is, it's a religious dictatorship, you can have consistent foreign policy. But to the point I think that you were making earlier, if you have a free country like ours, you have elections every so often, and you can string out the negotiations until you get a different president and hope for a different foreign policy. So it's going to be interesting to see how the religious leadership of Iran responds to a second carrier group, because it's going to seem like a threat. How do you think they're going to respond to it?
Well, let's just consider it from a biblical perspective for a moment, and that was a question a moment ago. From a biblical perspective, Iran is not going away. I mean, Iran certainly could be delayed with her nuclear program, but we know according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, a future prophecy, how far future, we don't know. Israel will come against, Russia is going to invade Israel, let's put it that way. Russia, Iran, Turkey, and some more minor players are going to invade Israel in the Gog and Magog War of Ezekiel 38-39. That could be tomorrow, it could be next year, it could be in 10-5 years. Who knows? We don't know. My only point is, we can talk about stalling Iran, stalling her nuclear program, and we should. But then the Iranian powers, mullah power, is not going away. Now, having said this, you know, America or Israel is not going to war with the people of Iran. It's these doggone right. mullahs that keep doing this to the Iranian people. Iranian people aren't the least bit interested in what we're talking about. But my only point is the Bible says Iran plays a major role in future events. So what we or Israel could do could delay things, but eventually Gog Magog takes place. Iranian empire not going away, but this certainly could delay things.
Hmm. All right. Well, go ahead.
No, it's just one more question. Israel announced this week, Jan, that they are going to maintain a military presence into the distant future, not only in Gaza, but also in Lebanon and Syria. I think it goes to the point that Netanyahu is serious this time. They are not going to allow another October 7.
Exactly. That was so devastating a year and a half ago. Anybody who was watching sort of things unfold that particular weekend were still in shock. I've got Michelle Bachmann this weekend and the following weekend. We'll talk about these things because I really think the world is at a crossroads. I mean, are we going to deal with the thugs in Iran and other places of the Middle East as well? I don't think we have an administration that's going to do that. We had the previous administration, which, as you gentlemen said, look at the difference in administrations. The Biden administration let them get away with anything. But this administration won't. And so I think we're coming to a showdown is my only point. And I think we need to be watching this like a hawk. And I think we need to have experts speak into it because we got troubled days up ahead. If I think no matter what path we go down, we've got really rough times ahead. But I'm so thankful we have a president standing up for freedom like we have now.
Did y'all already ask her about Mike Huckabee? Because I wasn't here.
No, sir. No.
I had to step out. Tim here, I wanted to ask you, what do you, you know, Mike Huckabee was confirmed as ambassador to Israel, and we're just tickled here. I don't know, your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. This is one of the, sort of the Middle East bright spots, and obviously, based on what I just said the last few minutes, it can be very dark, but Mike Huckabee, a ray of sunshine, and pro-Israel community, very, very pleased about this, yes.
All right. Thank you, Jan. Take care. Have a wonderful Easter weekend celebration.
And you.
Okay,
goodbye now.
Thank you. It's Jan Markell joining us from, I just call her Susie Sunshine right there, with the end of the world scenarios for nuclear, obliteration.
Yeah, she's talking Bible, though. So,
I know.
Yeah, it's.
Well, listen, I mean, there is going to be. There is going to be trouble.
I mean,
around the globe.
It's truth from beginning to end, but she focuses on the end often.
But to your point, nobody looks forward to that. In fact, I think it's in Amos.
We look forward to Jesus returning.
Yes,
right. That's right. Christians do, but we don't look forward to all the who does
right
the trouble that's coming to planet Earth.
I want to say it's the prophet Amos, but he's talking about the day of the Lord. And he says, all of you who are looking forward to the day of the Lord, don't, because it's a day of, and he starts to list all the difficult things that will come. So a normal person doesn't look forward to those kinds of things, but does look forward to the Lord's return. Or, good grief, just going home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Doesn't have to be at the end. just as long as I tell we're you, there.
Something I'm looking forward to in glory, no pollen, time doesn't change, there's no more tariff talk, although I am fully prepared to do more on this. You know, we don't have to worry about these things. We'll be with the Lord forever.
So those are your top three reasons?
Well, let me tell you this. I don't deserve...
Have you talked to your pastor?
So have you been listening?
Yes, I have. Okay. Yes, I have. And I mean, listen, I don't deserve heaven.
No pollen. That was in his top three.
That's the sermon series coming. No more pollen.
Bradford pear trees don't stink. Yeah. I mean, come on. That's preaching.
Yeah.
It's preaching, all right.
Yeah. Brother Rob's
listening right out of the Message Bible, I think.
Man, I tell you this, on Sunday, if he looks dead at me, points at me, I've touched a nerve.
Does your pastor listen to our show?
Yeah, I believe he does.
All right. He
does. That's our millennial point
of view. No more pollen.
I also right.
No more high gas prices.
This morning we were talking about our favorite foods and during the news meeting as we were all gathering. For some reason, Bronson brought it up, and we were all talking about it. And I did say that I hope Jesus is building my place next to a Mexican restaurant because that is my favorite type of food. So,
oh, man, Chris, you need to go on tour, brother. You're just bringing it.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah, be careful. You are wound up right now.
Those that have never heard me share the story, and I'm happy to do that at some point if anybody wants to call or email me, I came to know the Lord thanks to Fred. So Fred's my spiritual connection to the Lord.
Can I just raise
– I don't know if Fred
he's the Paul to my Timothy, if you will.
I don't want to know if Fred wants credit for that right now.
Maybe not.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Can I just add a strange story to the mix here? I was just looking on Fox News – and there's a story on Fox News about UFO footage captured by U.S. Navy shows mysterious aircraft launching from the sea. So I'm scrolling down while Chris is prattling on about his wish list for heaven.
Right.
And they have a story, I guess, from Fox News. These states are best prepared for an alien invasion. Explains UFO expert.
California number one?
No. I'm kind of disappointed.
Who are they?
Here are the five states.
Okay.
Five states. Virginia, Minnesota, New York, Massachusetts, and Alabama.
I could see Alabama. I would think Texas would be on that list.
Yeah, I just
get a gun.
Those are
Texas.
The five states that are what now?
Best prepared for an alien invasion. Now, I don't know the reason for that because I just drifted down the page. But that's a kind of a weird selection of states.
If Governor Ivey is listening in Alabama, she should put that on the billboard when you cross the state line. Best prepared for an alien invasion.
Top five. Oh man, I think my guess would be Virginia because they have the naval. I don't know. What am I? We're starting out.
Yeah. Okay. It just struck me as interesting.
Five states.
So after I got this show, I'm checking this out. I just want to find out.
Your use of prattle on was spot on.
Well, I think that could be used against a candidate who's an incumbent. You know, you could say, hey, did you see the recent guy running against the governor?
How come our state isn't better prepared?
Yeah, we're dead last. We are dead last in preparation for alien invasion.
Yeah,
and you call yourself a leader.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
Let's get on it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Vote for me. Hey. So where you found this story?
This is on Fox News.
Yeah. Okay,
speaking with space, I did not realize this until I was looking at it a minute ago on this day in history that Britannica puts together. Today is the anniversary of the Apollo 13 crew returning to Earth. You remember?
Yeah, Tom Hanks came back. That
was
great.
This happened long before I was born, but you guys lived through this. I mean, like, what was it like, number one, knowing that astronauts were stuck in space? And that,
what year was that?
1970 is when they returned to Earth.
Okay, so the Apollo, what do you call it? Mission?
Missions.
For those who don't know, those were the trips to the moon, right?
Yes.
Did they have 13 of those?
At least
did they all go to the moon?
Did they have 13? I think they had 18
The
or
Houston
19.
We Have a Problem was the 13th one.
Yeah.
That's the origination of that phrase, Houston, We Have a Problem, which was really said by the lead astronaut, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
There. But Now, there was the movie. I didn't see the movie. I've seen bits and pieces.
You've never seen that movie? That's really a good
movie. It's a good movie. Kevin Bacon's in it, Gary Sinise, and then Ron Howard directed it.
Okay. Yeah, I need to watch it, but I have, you know how you catch bits and pieces of movies, but I've seen that, but I knew Tom Hanks was the lead actor there, but so today is the day that happened in 1970?
Yes.
Is today the day of the explosion, that we learned the explosion, or that they came home?
Today is the anniversary that they came home, the splashdown.
Okay.
Ending one of the most tense chapters in space history. 4 days earlier, an oxygen tank had exploded, threatening the lives of the three astronauts.
Well, and that the reason the movie is so fascinating is how they jury-rigged
the
Apollo capsule or whatever to get back. Say, because they had some system failures. And I put that right up there in terms of bravery and engineering with the five women who went up to space a few days ago for 11 minutes. That I put those together in terms of the brilliance of the people who went up and then were able to come down.
You see where, you know, Katy Perry, the singer?
Oh, huge fan.
I could tell.
She's a pop singer.
I know.
That I couldn't name one song, but that's not my era.
I'm pretty sure her first one, AFA, had a issue with, and for good reason.
Okay.
She was anyway, go ahead.
I'm not here to review her career.
No.
I'm only here to say this. She was on the flight yesterday.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
It was earlier this week.
It's Jeff Bezos's...
Beyonce.
It's not Beyonce.
Fiance.
What's her name? Sanchez or something like that. Anyway, but she and like four of the women, Gayle King from CBS and Katy Perry and I don't know who else, went up to and did the stay up in the space for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then come back down to Earth. Do they come down where they left off?
Fairly close, I think.
I don't know how that works exactly, but of course I didn't do well in chemistry. That's
I think.
But anyway, hold on a second before you think.
I'm sorry.
Okay, because we never know where that'll go, do we, Chris?
Let me write down my thoughts.
Please write them down first.
I'm enjoying this beatdown.
But anyway, I love Chris. But Katy Perry, the singer, she got off the 11-minute trip and kissed the Earth.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was like she's being mocked universally about.
Deservedly so.
Yes.
Especially after
especially after the astronauts who were stuck for 9 months just got home.
Yes. Yeah, and there was probably less coverage of that in the mainstream media because it was Elon Musk going up and getting down under orders from President Trump.
Made him look.
There was less coverage of that than there was of these five women going up with their makeup on and then coming back down. It's just
and acting
just,
like they Katy Perry acting like they're oh, so, I've been done.
They're so brave.
So brave.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's an insult to women like Sally Ride that, you know, work their
whole
worked
lives
really hard to get where they were. They fought sexual discrimination, all these things, and they finally achieve it. And then, like, some people that have money or are married into things get to go to space. It's an insult to people like Sally Ride. I'm interested to see
she was one of the astronauts that died in the launch in 84 or something like that.
It was the first American female astronaut was Sally Ride. Now I'm interested to see which billionaire kind of wins the space race, if you will, because Elon Musk has SpaceX, Jeff Bezos has Blue Origin, as it's called. Blue Origin seems to be more like space tourism, whereas, like, Elon really wants to do things that somehow benefit
mankind. He wants to colonize Mars.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of his wackier ideas.
Yeah. Would you go to space if you had the opportunity?
No. I would not.
How are you going to colonize Mars?
Well, that's what a lot of people are asking. There's all sorts of problems.
Anyway, I guess
in terms
have
of gravity, the ability, you know, there's ideas about maybe terraforming to try to create some sort of atmosphere, but the gravity is not strong enough to hold on to an atmosphere. Plus it takes a long time to get there.
Yes.
Several years ago, Elon Musk was quoted as saying he wanted to nuke Mars and create global warming on that planet to make it to where people could live on it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's dreaming.
I would put my vast
scientific knowledge up against Elon Musk any day. Hey, listen, we joke about Katy Perry. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she raised in a Christian home?
She was, and she sang songs and about, you know, alternative lifestyle experiences.
Yeah,
and
I want to encourage people to pray for her and not just mock her.
This would be a great weekend to do that.
You can mock her a little bit, you know. But pray for her,
right?
And for these pop singers, there's several of them who were raised in a Christian home and now mock the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. It's a sad thing. So pray for Katie.
Amen.
And we're all happy that she made it home after an 11-minute stay in space, and the rest of these ladies.
Yeah. All right. So I wonder how that works. Elon Musk does that too, doesn't he? Doesn't he have a spaceship that goes up and comes down in 15 minutes or so? Or somebody does.
That's
somebody.
Well, his go up and come down for the most part.
I'm talking about...
That's Bezos.
Only him?
The rocket that launches them comes back down by itself and lands.
You're talking about for tourism?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Musk does a lot of that.
Bezos has that on lockdown.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We shall return momentarily.
Stay away from that pollen, Chris.
Yeah. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.